Should I use the word commitment or assignment now? Sitting under my pastor, you know, every year, exploring how to be there on Friday. And so I couldn't make it up, but we sent our leaders down to hold services with the church. And I hope that we appreciate that. You know, that the church leaders will travel about 300 kilometers to hold one service and travel back another 300 kilometers. You know, learning to that part of Lagos is about that distance. I have that annual task, that's what I was saying. So, you know, there is no other place for you to be when the pastor is holding a special meeting. There's nowhere else for you to be. So I have to be there. And in as much as I went with one or two people, even a lot of your cell leaders had to stay back, contrary to plan. Yeah. So even though I had to go with one or two people, some of them stayed back. And then those that were with me, they traveled down. Because our greatest focus has to be here. Are you with me? Where's the noise coming from? Jen, how do we? Can we show this? I'm trusting God that this year we're going to get a diesel generator. What do we think? I'm trusting God that this year we're going to get a diesel generator. And I think we can make it happen. Getting a noise. It's not from the chair. It's not from there. Coming from here. Is that easy? Why is it making that noise? Okay. It's alright, I could manage it. Wait, it's noise is much. What about this AC? It's not working. It's making the same noise. What? Has it peaked? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Praise God. So, what was I saying? What was I saying? Sorry? Yes, so our greatest focus has to be, in as much as I was away, but my focus was here. focus was here. Your focus has to be on your most important task. Sometimes you have people around you and doing well. Sometimes when we have people around us doing well, we are made to think that the people that are doing better than us are actually better than us. And many times it's not true. Now obviously you have to be sure. First of all, you have to be sure that the person is what? You have to be sure the person is really doing better than you. Sometimes you think someone is doing better than you, but in the real sense of it, you are actually doing better than the person. Praise God. And there's always room for improvement. You get it? There's always what? There's always room for improvement. Sometimes you think that someone is doing better than you, but in the real sense of it, you're doing better. So sometimes the reason why you feel that someone else is doing better than you is the parameters you are using to judge. Can you give me some more volume, please? See, you cannot even hear me because the volume does not get to you. Good. Thank you. Praise God. The what? The parameters. So, in ministry, and I wanted to say in life, because in life also, in life, you must learn to get what's right, get your parameters right. I don't have to teach you unfaithfulness today, so we have a thought on that. I said we'll continue, so I will. But what I'm saying is equally important. One of my work is to bring to us wisdom. And wisdom is that vital ingredient with which things are built. Let's go. There was this washing machine that I think the church recently brought to my place and all that. Particular washing machine, and if you look at that machine, for example, if you look at the architecture of the machine, it has a compartment. How many of you have seen the washing machine? How many of you have not, rather? That should be the question. The question should be, how many of you have not? Not how many of you have. Sometimes pastors insult their churches, and both of them did not know. Both the pastor and the church did not know you were being insulted. How many of you have not seen the washing machine before? There's nobody like that here. There shouldn't be. If you have not, I'll just give you some money now. Give you my keys. And you go home and check it. Inspect it well, then you join the meeting. You know. So you look at machine like that, and then you have this compartment that washes, and you have this compartment that drapes, or that spins rather, your clothing, squeezes it for you, and if it spends enough time in it, it comes out semi-dried. I mean, you can literally do wash and wear. How many of you have watched Wash and Wear? Have you watched the movie Wash and Wear? I can ask that question, because a lot of people here are chances. Have you watched Wash and Wear? Who has not watched Wash and Wear? Wash and wear. Mr. Ibu, wash and wear. You have not washed it. Oh God. I washed it when I was growing my first mustache. Set of mustache. I'm joking though. Praise God. So you can literally do wash and wear in that machine. So if you look at the machine, you observe the people that built the machine is like they thought ahead and said, what would the operator need? So they think ahead. So they say, oh, you need to wash. Is the person washing outside? The person is washing in the machine. The person also wants to spin. The person might want to dry the clothes simultaneously while another compartment is washing. How do we do it in such a way that the washing compartment, the washing water, you washed it, you squeezed it, you put it in the spinning compartment to dry up. How do we do it in such a way that water does not flow from the washing compartment to the squeezing compartment and then sabotages the squeezing exercise? You can even, while you are squeezing, now when you're done washing, there's a place to drain the water. You turn a button and then the water drains out. And then while you are squeezing, it is called squeezing or spinning because the machine is taking water away from where you are spinning. So how are you going to be washing? And at the same time you are spinning. And water is leaving the clothes through spinning. But the machine does not drain away the water you are using to wash. That is called wisdom. That's what we call what? Wisdom. How? So sometimes you look at your... Definitely, medical science believes that the greatest biological machine that has been created in history is the human body. You look at your human body. You look at how things are wired. How does my tooth get oxygen from my nose? How does my toes get oxygen? Your nails. For information, these nails get a lot of oxygen. And you're wondering how. So the how. So that's wisdom. So wisdom is how things are built. Systems are built. Governments are built. Churches are built. Amen? Churches. I'm not talking about church building. I mean, assembly. Are built to function. Organizations. Oh, families. Wisdom is how a home, when you see a woman who is wise, or you see a man is okay. A man who is what? Wise. Now, wisdom is different from intelligence, obviously. We all know that. Someone can be intelligent, but a person is not wise. I know sometimes the word intelligence could be used to describe wisdom, but no, they are two different things. If we are really, really studying those concepts. Intelligence means to be cunning. Not in a negative sense. That's intelligence. But he has wisdom. Wisdom is found in solving problems, overcoming challenges, solving problems. So, one of the things that we must learn to get right in life is what? Is what? Can I get a response? Is what? No, I didn't say that. I said get your parameters right. Measurements. I spoke about wisdom when I said one of my duties is to bring you wisdom. That if you are going to apply them, you're going to have less troubles in your life. Parameters. Praise God. Parameters. That's all by you say, get your parameters right. Get your parameters right. Tell them to get your parameters right. Get it right. Is it clear? Parameters. Get it right. So sometimes you think that somebody else is doing better than you, right? No. You see that it looks like someone is doing better than you, and then you think that the person is better than you. I said, it's not always true. But most times, two things. Number one, the people are not even doing better than you. But let me talk about the first one. I said, many times you think that they are better, right? Right? That they are better. They are better. But in real sense of it, they are not better than you. Sometimes, is it clear? Sometimes, they only do things in a better way. They only do things differently. They are not better than you. But they have learned how to do things what? Do things what? Different. They are not better than you. Better is not better. Better means, oh, this person is more intelligent than me. No. This person is more experienced than me. No. Sometimes they are just doing things differently than the way you're doing it. And that's why many times in the natural, observe, I didn't say in the ministry, because look at this. Wisdom is to recognize that ministry is separate from the natural. So, many times in the natural, all that you need to do to have similar results with the other person is to find out what he is doing differently. Find out what you're doing differently. Praise the Lord. Find out what you're doing differently. Do they wake up at a particular time of the day? What do they do first in the day? How do they spend their money? I was talking to someone, I think going to about 2-3 weeks now. It's going to 3 weeks now. And then, you know, I think the person is a billionaire. I know he has millions in hundreds. But I think the person is actually a billionaire. Very gentle. very, very gentle. I think you should be in either late 40s or early 50s. It doesn't make enough. So he was talking about some things and then someone had asked a question. So when the person asked a question, he now faced where I was, and then he was answering, he was responding, and it was almost like facing me, and I was talking. So it wasn't just I don't know. And then he just gave an example of how he spends his money. And as he was talking, well, personally, I felt I knew what he was talking about, but in paper, not in experience. In paper. He was talking about the way he would, typically the way he spends his money. And he wasn't counseling us that this is how you should spend money. It is sometimes when you are teaching people and you want them to get what you are teaching, after a while, tell them what you did. There's a way you can be saying, do this, do this. Someone should do this. A man should do this. Bring a scenario and tell them what you did. That's the best way to teach. So he was literally describing different events. How, you know, many years ago, how he was spending his money. And literally, it's one picture. If you are not careful, if you are listening to him, what you think he's saying is that he suffered himself. But that wasn't what he was saying. But I mean, this guy literally spent about a 10-year salary buying assets. That was all he did. 10 years. Like these days, he got his job in a multinational company while he was 20. Was it 26 or 27 or something? And then he literally spent about a 10-year worth of salary just acquiring assets. Just acquiring assets. And he was earning quite reasonably, decently. And he was just acquiring assets. He got real estate. Then he turned a portion of real estate into farms. Then he bought some properties over, even though he could not develop it. He just bought it. Then different things. Then he got lands, planted cashews there. And then, so he literally was just converting his salary into assets that were not giving him, what's it called, proceeds at that period. So, if you looked at him at those times, and you look at somebody else who had no job, the only difference between him and the person who had no job was that he was going to work. And yes, he was able to feed himself, clothe himself, pay his bills minimally. But he had something like a 10-year goal. And, well, I want to believe that for him to have done that, taken that step in his mid or late 20s, he must have had imputes, certain imputes in his life, because it's not a decision you make in your 20s. Because you are not that intelligent in your 20s. You are not. You are just not that smart in your 20s. That wisdom doesn't come from the 20s, the age. So he probably had listened to, or he had the imputes, or he had an exposure, something different from people who probably were in their 50s, 60s while he was in his 20s. So I was talking about that. And I was able to see, now he mentioned that, he mentioned some of his friends also, and who were definitely all, you know, very wealthy material. And one of the things I was able to see was, this guy is not better than me. I mean, that was what I concluded at that. And my conclusion was that, okay, he had done things different, or he's doing things different. Such that if I pick on what he is doing, or he did, if I pick on what he did, in another 10 years, I will have exactly the results. all things of God. I will have exactly his results. Well, I might not have exactly his results, but I think I will actually have very close to his results. Holding to maybe inflation and a whole lot of other realities around our own time and world today. But I mean, I would be in a similar state. So, for something like that, one only needs to find out what others are doing differently. They are not better people. But they do things differently. Do you get what I'm saying? In the natural, there's a little bit part of it that should apply to the ministry also, but I'm really separating both. So you don't fall into the copy syndrome in ministry. Though you can do life by copy. What is it doing? So I said there will be a need for us to get what? The parameters right. So, but don't forget, don't lose the fact that I'm talking about two things. You know, I'm discussing two things. I'm talking about the person, I'm talking about the activities. So I said, they are not better people. They are not. They are only doing things what? Differently. That's one. The second thing I'm now talking about is that when you say they are doing better, you must ensure that you get your what? Parameters right. By what parameters are you measuring life? Or if we bring that lesson into the ministry now, by what parameter are you measuring ministry success? Look at me. Look at Joshua 1 quickly. Everyone. This is what God's doing, right? Is this what God's doing? So that's why, look at me. You can't do well naturally if you don't read books voraciously. Do you get what I'm saying? And then when we talk like this, someone else might be like, but there are people that I know that they cannot even go to school, or they did not even go to school, and they are doing well. Don't think that way. Is that person you? Let me use agri for example. Now, this concept is present in every aspect of human study, field of study. But I'll use agri for example. In fishing, the moment you, there is artificial insemination, where you take away the eggs, you have the mature fish lay the eggs in the waters. And then, oftentimes, the moment your fishes are close to period of fertilization, where the fish lay eggs, you embed your net system into the waters, so tiny nets, such that the eggs don't get dispersed anyhow. There's a netting system that goes into the water, and then the fish are all on the net and all of that. So the moment you get the fish, and then you get the eggs are laid. Take it. You take what's it called? The presence of artificial insemination. You take another fish, then you squeeze out the semen, and then you squeeze out the semen on the eggs, and then that fertilizes. And then you take the eggs, which are now hatched into fries. You collect them somewhere. Now, it takes about 2-3 weeks to grow from the stage of what we call fries into about 4-5 weeks to go from fry into what we call fingerlings. Are we together? Now, there's a stage between fingerlings and fries. It's called jumbo. They call it jumbo in fisheries. So, jumbo stage. Now, those jumbos, they are not fries. They are maturing. But they are also not fingerlings. Now, you don't sell fries. You sell fingerlings. So, but before you get to fingerling stage, which you sell, you have to go to that jumbo stage. So there's a way these farmers prepare all of that. And then, now what I'm talking about is, at that stage where those fishes are prepared and all that, the place where they are kept, as the fishes are bred, there's usually this occurrence of the same class of fishes that were hatched, some of them now growing longer or bigger or faster than the rest. Now obviously there is that consistent visit of that particular part of the pond, so that the reason for the visit is to ensure that these faster or fastly growing ones are consistently sieved. There's a sieve that they use, so the smaller ones will pass through the sieve. Then the larger ones are retained and then separated and bred separately. Because if that's not done, the larger ones begin to eat the smaller ones. I would get. So that those larger ones, we call them outliers. That's why I said it's a concept that is common in every field. They're so called outliers. Outliers. That is, this is unusual. This is not the custom. So when we talk like this, and then you say things like, there are people who didn't go to school, and you are referring to an outlier. If you live life in that expectation, you will fall flat. You get what I'm saying? You will fall flat. You fail. So there is what is normal. There is what is the usual. Usual, not as ordinary, but I mean that is the protocol. That's protocol. So, you see, you must find out what is the protocol. What's the protocol? For example, if you want to have a strong teaching ministry of God's word, there's a protocol. There's a protocol. We call it the price. The price. Amen? So, I must learn to find out what are the right parameters. So I'll say, for example, in the natural, you want to do well, you have to. One of the basic things you must do is that you have to fellowship with great minds by reading beyond your school material. Frisco, a friend of mine who owns some, establishments in the city, food mart actually, I was shocked when he called me some weeks ago and was asking for some materials, that if I have materials along the lines of it. And I was like, what do you need? What do you need those materials for? I mean, he has about 6 or 7 restaurants in this city. Thriving himself. 6-7 restaurants at different spots in the city. He has 2 in campus. He He has outside school. He has a challenge around Yoruba route. He has those. And he was calling me. I was asking for material. You have any? He knows I have books. So, because I've known him for going about 6-7 years now. And then, no, about 5-6 years actually. 5-6 years. So, he was asking me for, so I said, do I have materials along this line? And I was like, what do you need them for? Yeah, he needs them. He wants to learn something. He wants to read something. He wants to catch up on something. That's in the natural. Are we together? Are we together? Look at this. Look at this. It is in God's plan that you will read to succeed. So he gave you analytical mind. You must know what you were given of God. And when you realize what you are given of God, it will show you God's intention. Do you get it? Do you get it? That's why I said given of God. I didn't say you must know what you have. If you know what you have, then you'll know what it's meant for. I said find out what God gave you. That means it's in God's plan that you are taught. You are taught. It's in God's plan that you are taught. It's in God's plan that you interact with information. In the numerous channels that they are made available. Is it clear? So it's now left for you to look at your world and find out which channel communicates information most effectively. Today, obviously, it is written. Through which channel is information stored most effectively? That means people who have information to pass across will use that channel more. Right. Reading. If it is speaking more than listening, but it's writing, then reading. So God intends that you will read to make your life what? Life what? Better. Do you get it? Do you get it? God intends that I will what? Read. How often? That depends on you. Depends on how hungry, disciplined, passionate you are about your goals. Someone asked Bishop Oedipo, he said, sir, after he had had a lengthy conversation of people describing, he says, so someone got up and said, we have seen one of Covenant students, university students. He says, we have seen this, all these feats that you have achieved, and this and this and this. The man even said he works nothing less than 18 hours through the day, every day, for decades, 18 hours daily, working. So the guy came up and said, one fellow came up and said, sir, we want to ask that. Can you just give us the secret of staying awake at night? That what keeps you awake at night? The bishop picked the mic. He said, my problems. He said, my goals. My challenges. The things I'm trying to achieve are so strong that they keep me awake at night. Praying, studying, reading, thinking. He said, those are the four things. And executing. During the day. At night, he's praying, he's studying, not Bible, and thinking. He's praying, he's studying, he's thinking. He's reading. Then he says he executes in the day. Executes in the day. So, parameters, right? Right? So I said, look at Joshua 1, you know, someone you said, or someone say, oh, this person is doing better than me. Look at Joshua 1. In Joshua 1, in verse 8,
What does he say? He says, this book of the law, right, shall not what? Depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein how often? Day and night. For then, he says, thou shalt observe what? To do according to all that is what? Written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous. And thou shalt have what? Good success. Praise God. Now I'm going to come back talk about this maybe sometimes in another workers' fellowship. But look at this. He says, this book of law shall not depart out of your mouth. He says, you meditate in day and night. Now obviously, day and night is a biblical concept. Day and night simply means consistency. It's not talking about 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Even though it can be 9 a.m., 9 p.m., even though it can be. But he's talking about consistency, day and night. You find day and night also in Psalm 1. His delight is in the law of the Lord, day and night. Are we together? So look at this. Day and night is another word for faithfully. You look at how Paul applies that word day and night. Paul simply said, in season, out of season. That's day and night. Is that clear? So, you meditate on the law. Joshua would meditate on the law of the Lord. How often? How often? In season, out of season. Now, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. So just look at me now. Don't even write. Just look at me. You know, when we go into that text and then we say, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Oftentimes, we have applied that text in a devotional way. Devotional way in the sense that we have taught that text as Joshua being instructed about what he does in privacy with the word. Now, while that is not off point, but is that really what God was talking to Joshua about? Because you have to find out who is Joshua. Now, in finding out who is Joshua, your honest review will be, who is the Joshua of the scriptures? Who does the scripture describe Joshua to be? Your ideology of Joshua couldn't be a businessman. Are we together? In fact, this is more subtle. Your ideology of Joshua couldn't be a soldier. That's more subtle. Because he was a soldier. You can argue and say, that you are infalling. Inference. You are infalling. I was talking to someone maybe about 6 years ago. He called me and said I should come and defend the guys of Ghana security and all that. And then I was talking to him on phone. So I said I would not go because we couldn't resolve whatever on phone. Some of my friends now later went there. And then, so they came back to me and said, he kept on saying that they were infirm, that everything they said, the scripture never said that, that it was all inference, they were infirm. I said, no, this is not inference, you're not inferring, that was exactly what they said, but they couldn't agree. So this is not inferring. Now, are you inferring that? Are you trying to say, so if you say that Joshua is a soldier, is a businessman, or maybe you are trying to say something, but this is very clear, the fact that he was a soldier. But the question is, who is the Joshua of the scriptures? Are we together? And then the very first thing that you must make sure you hold on to when it comes to identity is, who did God say you are? The person God says you are will go a long way in how God addresses and interacts with you. Who a friend calls you will not matter to God as much as who God calls you. What your parents describes you to be will not matter to God as much as what God has called you or how God sees you. Is it clear? Because sometimes you can be fasting and praying that God will enlarge a particular business, but God sees you as the prophet in that locality. Now, he's going to bless you materially, but hey! So, what does God describe you to be? So, that's why when we look at the scriptures, one of the answers that we must ensure we locate about personalities in the scriptures is, who is this person? Someone was talking about some days ago. We were talking, and then someone was saying something like hey, that Joshua, what's it called, Moses, and all that, that you must learn to seek natural wisdom and all of that. That so, the conversation went in such a way that person had to come in. But on Facebook, person just said Jethro was a priest of Midian. Because the person was now using that scripture of Jethro advising Moses to give him ministerial wisdom. Now, the same Jethro was the one whose flock Moses was keeping. So he felt his own sight, perception was that Jethro was a businessman. Moses was a prophet. Moses then goes to a businessman and gets instruction and direction for ministry. Pastor had to come and write, Jethro was a priest of Midian. That just sorted out the whole worship. I mean, he didn't commit again. He just said that everything. So, look at this. Who did God say you are? He will interact with you that way. No matter how your husband sees you or what your wife calls you, who did God say you are? God will interact with you that way. He is not moved by the masses. He is not moved. So the question is, who is Joshua? In answering who is Joshua, we must answer the question, what did the Bible describe Joshua to be? Very simple. If you do not answer that question, Joshua 1:8 will not be clear. Are we together? So look at this. It says, Joshua, in chapter 1, verse 1, he calls Joshua what? Moses is what? Minister. Amen. Now, read from verse 1. That was that verse what? Now read verse 2 again. So Joshua was to give words to the people. What would Joshua give to the people? What will Joshua give to the people? I'm asking a question. In verse 2 and 3 which you read, what will Joshua give to the people? Read verse 2 again. Go over what? Can you open your mouth? Go over what? And what? You and all these people unto what? Which? I mean to the children of what? Of Israel. So, what was the promise? Can you open your mouth? What was the promise? The land. Look at Joshua 18 quickly.
Are we there? Joshua 18. In fact, before 18, look at Joshua 15. This then was the lot of the tribe, verse 1, of the children of Judah by their families, even to their brother, to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin, southward. It says, the uttermost part of the south coast, and their south border was from the shore of the salt sea, from the bay that looketh southward, and it went out to the south side of Malilakabin, he says, and passed along to Zin, and ascended up the south of Kadesh Barnea, and passed along Hezron, and went to Ada, and fetched compass to Karkar. If you look at chapter 14, these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of their fathers and of the tribes, fathers of the tribes of Israel, distributed for what? Inheritance for them. So this is Joshua's assignment, his ministry. By law, the inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given inheritance of two tribes and half tribe on the other side of Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them, for the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, therefore they have no part of Levi. So if you read on right from verse 13, chapter 13, 15, you read on into, if you look at chapter 15 now, it says verse 20, these inheritance of the tribe of children of Judah according to their families. So he gave tribes and he gave families. Kina, Dimo, Adada, Kadesh, 23, Hazor, Itnan, Ziv, Telem, he says Bilot, Hazar, Adata, Keriot, Ezron, Hazor. So he gives the names. In 16, he mentioned the children of Joseph, their lot. He mentioned the land given to them. He mentioned the land given to the tribe of Manasseh in chapter 17, verse 1. Then he mentioned in chapter 18, the whole congregation of Israel, of the children of Israel, assembled together, verse 1, at Shiloh, and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. So we observe that the work of Joshua was progressive. They were taking the lands and then allocating the lands by inheritance to the tribes. Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers had given you? The reason was because some haven't gotten their inheritances, became what? Relaxed. And others had not gotten their inheritance. Give out from among you three men from each tribe, and I will send them. And they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them. And they shall come again unto me. They shall divide it unto the seven parts. Judah shall abide in their course on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their course on the north. You shall therefore describe the land in seven parts and bring the description either. Why did they say seven parts? Because seven tribes in verse 2 have not gotten their land. Are you with me? Are you with me? So you see that and that. So down into chapter 19, 20. So look at me. The book of Joshua was the book of the delivery of inheritance to the children of Israel. That's what the material is about. Are we together? Look at it today. We'll call it the book of church plantings. Is it clear? So you observe, he says in 15 that they set up a what? A tabernacle. That's an altar. An altar. So they will go, they will set up a tabernacle. Then, where the people will worship, they take another lamb, set up a tabernacle where the people worship. See, that is the idea of church venue. Are you with me? The place of worship, which is illustrative of the presence of a kingdom. It's like taking a territory and then setting up a post there, a garrison there. So the question is, who is Joshua? So Joshua is that shepherd of the scriptures that is to take Israel into their inheritance. He takes Israel into
the God ordained inheritance. I will use a word. He gives to Israel their destiny in God. Joshua. So that is the biblical description. Of Joshua. Are we together? That's the biblical description. So you must answer that question. Are you with me?
I mean, the law of text, actually, I could show you, but it's fine.
We'll do that another day. That's not the focus. So, the question is, who is Joshua? So, if you see Joshua as the president of a nation, will you be right? Will you be right?
Yes.
But, is that how God saw him? So, Joshua 1 will make sense to you now. When he says, the land. Look at that text again. So, Joshua would take people into what? How do we describe that to him? It's a point where your pastor picks you, trains you, till you begin to shepherd other people. So at the point of pastoring other lives. Is it clear? What have you done? Or what has your pastor done? At the point of you pastoring over congregation, what has your pastor done? He has led you into what? Your inheritance. Now, do you look at this? You pick up pastoring from there, right? What is your work? So, can you see that the land is spreading in all the earth? So, you observe it's a continuous work till the earth is what? Filled with His glory. That's why, look at this, we say things like, look at me, the local church is a place to sit down. Sit down there. All this jump that people are doing. Changing church like underwears. The local church is a place what? Is a place what? Be planted. The moment you are planted, what is my work? What is my work? To plant what? Others. Those others that you are planting is your what? Eh? is your what? That is your inheritance. See, what I'm telling you now is Christ's discipleship coming in 2026. I'm sharing the notes with you. That's what I'm sharing with you. That's your inheritance. The people you are planting is what? Your inheritance is the people you are planting and the people they are also planting. All of that. So Paul will say to Timothy, he says, commit unto what? Faithful men, which are also be able to what? Which will be able to what? To teach others. He said, that's how many generations of disciples? Four. Timothy's faithful men. Are we together? Then Timothy's the people that Timothy's faithful men will teach. Then you have four. So a discipleship extends from Paul to Timothy. One. Timothy picks it up. Are we together? Receives discipleship. Then gives it to faithful men. Are we together? That's the third category. Then they also teach others also. Teach others also. Teach others also. Are we together? Are we together? So you observe that the concept of God's inheritance is spreading. It's not static. I'll talk about that later. Because that's why as a church, look at me, we must ensure we are what? We are spreading. The spreading means we now have a new worker. That's the spreading. The spreading is that we now have new invites. Another cell leader. More assisting hands in the cell. So that is spreading. Another cell. Another prayer group for sets of people who can flow with the current prayer group. Are you with me? Are we together? Are we together? So the spreading inheritance means more people are coming to be pastored, and that means more people are also what? Pastoring others. Is it clear? Hey. What I'm saying to you is clear. So more people are what? Pastoring. And more people are being what? Pastoring. So the inheritance what? Is spreading that way. So you will now see why he said in the book of Acts that the Lord added to the church how often? Daily. That means they had a daily increasing inheritance. And it's possible. We must have those results too. So let me back up a bit. So if you look at Joshua, the question is, who is Joshua? I talked for some 20 minutes, I'll close. Who is Joshua? So Joshua is the man tasked with taking the people of God into their what? Inheritance. We can call him a pastor. The writer of Hebrews said, Joshua led them into the rest. Even though that rest, notice he said that if there was not a rest that is waiting, is it clear? He says that if Joshua had led them into the rest, which is God's intention, the real rest, the true rest, if Joshua had led them into that rest, then another rest would not have been spoken about by the writer of Hebrews. So the Hebrew writer is saying that if the scripture is talking about another rest, different from the rest Joshua led the people into, It means the rest of Joshua was illustrative of the true rest, which the writer of Hebrews is now talking about as in Christ. So the land that God asked Joshua to give to those people, or that God will give to the people through Joshua, the land is simply illustrative of what we have been given today as the church of God. Is it clear? Is it clear? Because the intention of God is that the whole earth will be filled with His glory. That was not going to be established by getting to Canaan. Canaan is not the whole earth. But God, instructing and leading them into Canaan, helping them to take hold of Canaan, is illustrating that He will take the whole earth. So whatever we read in Joshua will be illustrative of what is in the church of Jesus Christ today. The rest of Joshua, illustrative of the rest of the believers today. The land of Joshua, which Joshua is to give them, illustrative of a land that God will give today. Are you with me? Are you with me? So you observe, who is Joshua? So when you answer the question, who Joshua is, when you answer that question, who Joshua is, you will understand Joshua 1:8. Look at Joshua 1:8 again. So he says, the book of Joshua, that are not the power of morale, you shall maintain only day and night. So we have taught that text as being descriptive or instructive of Joshua's private life. Right? Right? But if you look at who Joshua is, the work that God has given him, you observe that Joshua 1:8 is actually talking about his public ministry. Now, does that mean he doesn't have an application in his private life? No, he does. He does. The place of spending time in God's word in privacy is there. But if you look into that text, what Joshua was being instructed, had to talk about, spoken to about, had to do with his public ministry. This book of the law, it says, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein what? Day and night. It says, for then you will observe to do according to what? To all that is written therein. Pay attention. What did you see in verse 2 and 3?
To give them and what? Inheritance. Isn't it?
What does it say in verse 5? Read on. Did you see that? So, who is Joshua? Joshua is that man chosen of God to lead Israel into their inheritance or inheritances. So, when he says, thou shalt observe to do all that is written therein, what's he talking about? He's talking about applying the word of God to his ministerial assignment. Thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written therein. He says, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. So the question again is, what would he mean by you will make your way prosperous? Is it clear? Whatever he meant by you shall make thy way prosperous there, amen, will definitely have to do with the assignment he is given. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous there has to do with fulfilling his ministry. Fulfilling what? His ministry. Then he says, then you shall have good success. So the good success spoken of in Joshua 1:8 has to do with fulfilling the assignment God had given him. That's why I said you cannot use him as a businessman. You cannot use him as a soldier. You have to see him in the light of his assignment. So if you see Joshua, in the light of God's assignment for him, good success, make thy way prosperous, do according to all that is written therein, will have its foremost application where? In dividing the land to Israel, fulfilling their inheritance. Are you with me? What are we talking about? We're talking about parameters. Are we together? So look at this. This fellow, you say, he's doing better than me, or he's better than me. I said, no. Sorry. You have to find out who are you. Who am I? If your identity about yourself is a businessman, I didn't say, do you do business? I say, what is your foremost identity about yourself? If your foremost identity, what is at the front burner of your mind, your head, is that you are a businessman, then you will begin to see success as having a successful business. Success in life. And then you will begin to use different parameters, or a set of parameters rather, to judge your own success. You will begin to use a set of parameters to judge your own success, which will be different from somebody that feels like in life he is a philanthropist. I'm a philanthropist. I'm a businessman. I'm a politician, a nation leader. I'm a politician. I'm a politician. Don't forget number 17. Was it number 17? Where Moses gives the criteria for the what? The what? The king of Israel. What's he saying? He says your own king has an identity that the kings of the world does not have. Other kings don't have. There's a way the king of Israel must see himself, or else he will begin to judge success with a different parameter. A parameter different from what he's supposed to use to judge success as a servant of God. The king of Israel is a servant of God. A servant of God means he serves God's purposes. Are you with me? 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 The king of Israel is a what? Look at me. Look at me. The Nigerian president is not servant of God. There are two different things. That's why a lot of young people are disappointed. Because you think your president should be holy. The king of Israel is who? Is who? So, David was a king before the people, but David knew that he was God's mouthpiece, prophet. The things he used to judge success in his life will be different. It will be parameters of a servant of God, not of a worldly politician. Not of what? So, when
What's his name?
Nathan. So Nathan comes around and says, there's a man, a rich man, who has lambs, cattle, and all that. And there was a poor man who had just one sheep. He eat, drink, wine, dine with a sheep. And then the rich man has a friend. And then he calls for his boys. He says, go and bring me that animal that belongs to the poor man. And then he takes it and he kills it. And then he got up in wrath and said, oh, that man says, will receive sevenfold of his activities and all that. And then Nathan will say, oh, king, you are actually the one. And immediately he repented because he saw the action as wickedness before the Lord. A worldly politician will not see it that way. A worldly politician will say, Baba Baluri, but not the servant of God. Are we together? So David's perception of himself was right. Did you notice that Saul's perception of himself was wrong? So it went up. So David's perception of himself was right. Servant of God. So he would judge success in his own kingdom with the parameters of a servant of God. So success to David will be, how well have I served God's purposes? Just like Moses, just like Joshua. A worldly king would not think that way. A worldly king, just like Herod, a worldly king says, look at this, who is trying to attack us? And he wipes away. Who is trying to unseat? He wipes away. So he sends his men and they go into the houses and then they took every newly born child and they killed them. He goes into the house. You know, that happened not once in the scriptures. Are we together? Amen. Other ones? The same thing happened around Moses. So, your perception of yourself affects the parameters that you set. So, let me bring the thought home this evening. Look at this. This is very practical. As a minister of the gospel, what is success to you? What do you do? What has God called you to do? Separate book. God has called me to raise believers and train them ministers of the gospel. I am a doctor. You must recognize both as unique, remotely detached. Are we there? So, what parameters are you using to judge? As a minister of the gospel, your parameters, or let me say in the ministry, your own parameter is how many people are doing God's plan, are in God's will, in God's plan, because I minister to them. A parameter for you. Then how many people am I ministering to? Are they increasing?
Is my inheritance doing what? Doing what? Increasing. What do I mean by my inheritance increasing? What do I mean by that? It simply means, am I leading what? More people into their what? Inheritance. And don't forget, it's a continuous work, right? It deepens. So as I'm looking forward to which new people have I brought into the inheritance, the people that have led into the inheritance, are they taking more grounds? See, this is the evaluation of a pastor. Are they taking more grounds? Is there any new person? Is the workforce increasing? And don't forget, the increase itself must be under the right parameters. So you do that check. See, when we do the check and you score rightly, is it clear? Is it clear? See, at that point, it doesn't matter what others are doing. You are being successful. Parameters. Am I learning more things in God's word? Am I growing spiritually? Am I growing? You must write those points down. I mentioned three now. Am I growing? Am I learning God's word? Four. Am I growing? Am I getting better in my love walk? What are the things I couldn't tolerate before, but now I'm able to tolerate? Your patience level. Someone was talking to me last week. Someone was talking to me last week. And then the person came to me and said, he's very grateful for the ministry of the word, and then that there were some things that he couldn't tolerate. But just by hanging around God's word for the space of a year or two, he even discovered that, you know, so he began to mention like siblings, then he mentioned at work. He said, there's just this atmosphere of joy. So that's what the word does. Your trust in God's power, is it stronger? Or has doubt increased in your heart? Doubt and unbelief. What about your ministry in the things of the Spirit? What about your disciples? Are there new disciples? And the old ones you have, are they getting stronger? Can you actually see that this person is getting better spiritually? So those are your parameters, is it clear? As the minister of the gospel. Your giving, are you able to part with more resources? Are you able to part with more resources? How do you feel now when you want to part with resources for the church, for the Lord? The parting with your resources, how does it feel? How forward are you to part with your resources? When service days are approaching again, or service times, or times of ministry activities, in the evenings or in the weekends or during the week, how does it feel? You feel bored or burdened? Or do you look forward to services? How effective are you at explaining God's word in evangelism, in outreach? So, parameters. Somebody else's parameter could be
Look at this. How much are we making in church? Some people's parameter. Not here. The church is saying, how many Muslims have we gotten saved in the last 6 months? Then another one is saying, how many items have we acquired? What is our net worth now? So ministries will say, what is our social media followership? So get your parameters what? Right. Is it clear, church? And don't put yourself under pressure. Get your parameters right. And when you get your parameters right, focus on those parameters to improve them. Focus on those parameters to improve them. Is it clear? Is it clear? I'll close with this. Our greatest asset as a local assembly is our focus. Is our what? Is our what? Focus. Let's keep our focus. Look at me. What are the things working for us? Does our prayer meeting work for us? Does prayer meetings work for you? It works for you, it works for us. Our teaching services, do they work? The way our services are structured, do they work for us? The Saturday weekly outreach, do they work for us? Then, we're doing the ministry. So don't lose your focus. Look at me. Look at me, everyone. I'll say it. I'll say it. I'll say it. Take your eyes away from congregations that have 500, 1,000. Take your what? Eyes away from them. Where should you set your eyes? Your congregation. To what? To grow. To increase. Don't go and find out. We don't go to find out what they are doing. We know what we're doing. Look at this. Look at this, for example. You see two churches in a city. To show you what focus does. You see two churches in a city. Or you see, look at these two scenarios. You see a city. City A, City B. It's church A in the city, church B in the city. This pastor and this church, the city where they are is 1,000 people. In the city where they are, they have 1,000 people. In that pastor's church, they have 100 people. Are you listening to me? Then you look at the city B. Oh, forget this parameter I'm giving. Analysis I'm giving. You look at the city B. They have 1,000,000 people. In that church, they have 1,000 people. Who have reached more of their communities? Who has reached more people? Who has reached more people? The other one has reached in the city of how many? The city of 1,000. Reached how many? That's how many percent? 10%. The other is in the city of 1 million. Reached how many? 1,000. That's how many percent? That's 1%. So you are looking at the church filled with 1,000. You are looking at a church filled with 100. Are we together? And then you feel like that one is doing better than you. But in the real sense of it, this other church has reached how many percent of its population? 10% of its population. So you don't use what's outside there. Are we together? To measure. Secondly, don't lose this. Imagine that same church, the church A. Are we together? Of the 100 in that church, imagine 60% are workers. That's about 60 or 70% out of 100. Now you look at the other church. They have, out of the 1,000, they have 100 workers. Who is doing more work of the ministry? Who is doing more work of the ministry? Who? Are we together? Or let's even say you have a church of 1,000, you have a church of 50,000. From the look of it, it looks like the 50,000 is reaching more people than the what? Than the what? Than let's say the 5,000. Are we together? Now, if you look at the church of the 5,000, the church of the 5,000 has 3,000 of the 5,000 as workers in the church. Or let's even say 2,500 are workers in the church. Remains how many? 2,500. Of the 2,500, 1,500 are active in the cells. That means they go on evangelism. Right? They pray. Right? That's how many total? That's about 3,500. Isn't it? Of the remaining 1,005, let's say the 1,000 are new converts that were won on outreaches. That means we ensured that they are what? Born again, full of the Spirit, and are being actively trained. That's 4,500 out of what? 5,000. Then you look at this church of 50,000. Imagine of the 50,000, 30,000 of them, are we together, are not born again. Or the pastor is not sure if they are born again. Because they were gathered with measures that does not ensure that the gospel is preached before people are brought in. Imagine of that 50,000, only about 5,000 is saved. Are you with me? The church is how many again? 50,000. How many saved? Certified, 5,000. So you have a population of how many unsaved? 45,000. That we are not sure. Are we together? Not sure. Now, which of the two churches do you think is carrying out the work of discipleship more? Carrying out the work. Are we together? So at the end of the day, you need to look at what you are doing. What is in your hands? And not look at others. Now imagine this. So of the 50,000, are you with me? Of the 50,000, we said about 30,000, we are not sure they are saved. It means how many? 20,000. 5,000, we can say, okay, they are saved. It means how many? 15,000. Okay, the remaining 15,000, they are not filled with the Holy Ghost. They are not filled with the Holy Ghost. They are not being discipled. Maybe they don't attend midweek services. They are not under strong training. Of the 5,000 that we are sure they are saved, maybe 3,000 are workers. Of the 3,000 workers, maybe only 1,000 speaks with tongues. Of the 1,000 that is speaking in tongues, maybe only 500 are actively under strong discipleship. Yet you see another assembly where there are just 5,000. Are we together? Are we together? And how many did we say here are under strong discipleship? There's about 4,500. Or about 3,000 are under strong discipleship. Maybe they are workers. 3,000 are workers in church. And their own workers, the other one, they have how many workers? They have how many workers? They have 5,000 workers. Of the 5,000 workers, I say maybe 3,000 are not filled with the Holy Ghost. But you have another assembly where they have 5,000, 3,000 are workers. And their own workers are all filled with the Holy Ghost, full of the word, being trained. Then you have the 1,500 who are very active. Are we together? Then you have, of the remaining 500, let's say you have some 300 who ensure they are born again from the church. The church got them saved. Then let's say you just have about that roughly 100 to 200 that randomly just came into the church or comes into the church. People always come into the church, invited, I saw your banner, my friend is in the city, I joined them, I came to visit, I said to worship with you, my parents came, oh, I just got admission, I'm looking for a church. You always find that community also. But you observe that in this church of 5,000, about 4,800 people are solidly in training, in the pipeline. This church, if they were to release ministers of the gospel into the city today, they are going to release about 4,500 ministers of the gospel. That means this particular assembly has what Jesus is looking for. The other one has 50,000 what? Congregation. Are we there? But what he has is not what Jesus is what? Is looking for. Are we together, church? Now look at what distraction can do. This is what distraction will now do. Distraction will make the pastor of that 5,000 to be eyeing the what? The church of the what? Of the pastor of the 50,000. Then he starts going about to ask the pastor of the 50,000, what are you doing to bring what? The 50,000. Then he begins to copy the style of the church of 50,000 pastor, so that his own church can also become what? 50. What is he doing? He is losing the what? The favor. He's losing the flavor. He's losing the ministry. He's losing the ministry. So he begins to apply the concepts, the plans, the styles of the other church in his own church. He loses the ministry. Not knowing that what he has is actually what Jesus intends towards to grow. So, to to him he feels is not successful because he has a wrong parameter. So find out who you are or what your work is. Get your parameters right and do what? Focus on it. Are we together? Are we together? Focus on it. Local assembly must be focused. Focus on what you have. An average member of your church can explain the gospel. That's a big deal. A worker in the church, there's no one worker in the church that can't get someone filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's success. Because we have to look at we have 100 workers in our own church. 90 of our workers are owners of companies. 90 of our workers are millionaires. In that church, their workers are millionaires. Well, the question is this: what is the Bible description of a worker? If the worker in your church falls short of the biblical description of a worker, you are failing. Parameters. Is it clear? Is it clear? What I'm saying, is it clear? So, what is the Bible description of a worker? In our services, we are people like our services. On Sundays, we are about 1,000. Okay? What is the Bible description of a church service? If what you do with the 1,000 fall short of biblical instructions of how a church service should look like, and there is another that has 10 and did exactly what the scriptures describe a church service to look like, that particular assembly of 10 is succeeding. That assembly of 1,000 is failing. You better have the 1,000 and at the same time have what? The biblical description of what? Of a service. That is, it's very simple. If Jesus was seated in your service, will you sing the songs he sang? If Jesus sat there in the service, will you explain the scriptures the way you explained it? So you say, Jesus hated poor people. And that was why there's no Bible text where he visited them. Are you not ashamed? You should be ashamed of that statement. And this is not to spite anybody. The same person, another person like that, who was being discipled by the same person that discipled this one, that made such statement, said that Jesus was murdered because he didn't have money. Are you not daft that if Jesus had money, he would not have been killed? That was why Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. That if his ministry had money, Jesus, now it was Satan that killed Jesus. He said that. It's not funny. It's not funny at all. These are things that I hear, and I can't take my next meal. Because again, it's not a preacher saying it. It's the kind of preacher that said it. This man arguably has the largest church in Port Harcourt. The largest. His assembly is hundreds of thousands. The two of them. The other one said that it was Sakpa that killed Jesus. On pulpit, in a conference, a special meeting. He was in a church service. He was invited to come and preach in a special meeting where his spiritual son was ministering. Then you go there, you make such statement in a meeting that was broadcasted worldwide. Has God made a mistake by giving you influence? As I said, it's not something to laugh about. Then the other one came and said Jesus hated poor people. You said he even visited Zacchaeus, who was a thief. What are you saying? So the parameters, and two of them were being discipled by the same person. That person should. My mouth cannot take what I want to say. Now, about the discipler, not about the disciples. Because those ones are godless in their mind. And then, when you see something and you are corrected, you're supposed to come back and own to the correction. And even if you will not agree that you were wrong, you're supposed to be quiet. And then he comes again the following week and said that he went to pray and fast about what he said, and that the Holy Ghost told him he was right, and that the Holy Ghost gave him more scriptures. What are the scriptures? I was we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, but since he became poor. Are you okay? So yourself, that is no more ignorance. That is obviously, you can't go to those people to learn how a church should grow. You are going to lose God's plan for your church. You lose it. You can't go to such people and say, "Sir, I see that your church is, what can we do?" Eh? You cannot. So you stay with what God has given you. And you find out from the scriptures things to do to make it grow. It's very simple. How do we grow the church? How do we make our church grow? It's very simple. How do we ensure every believer is growing spiritually? That's the key to church growth. Do you understand? That's the secret to church growth. The secret to church growth is in ensuring every single believer, including children, are doing what? Are making progress in their spiritual lives. Every single believer, including children, are making progress in their lives, are growing up to become effective ministers of the gospel. That is the secret to church growth. Is this clear? If we do not slack at that, we will have the spiritual and the numeric growth of our assembly and our ministries. Spiritual and numeric of our assembly, of our ministries. If we will not slack at what I just said. The same thing with the cells. How do I make myself 50 and strong? How do I make myself 30 and strong? I must pay attention. How do I ensure that everyone, are we together, grass in the field, receives consistent rainfall, consistent nurture? How do I ensure that every one member of the church is growing? How do we ensure? So that is very tedious. Except your goal is in raising ministers, you cannot embark on such a mission. If your goal was to increase, your goal is to have a popular church, you can't do what I'm saying. And look at me, everybody. I hope you all know that our goal is not to have a popular church. By now, if you have been with me for a while, you observe that I have never made a single decision to make the church popular. And I will not. Our goal is to fill the earth with the glory, and we can do it even without social media. Is it clear? Goal is not to make the church popular. The goal is not to make your man of God popular. We put out God's word. Put out the word. And pray much. And put out the word. Put out the word. And pray much. There are periods when you must put out where you are learning it. It's fine. Times and periods where you must put out who you are learning it from. It's fine. But the goal is to put out God's word. And ask faithfulness. Put out the word. In preaching. In teaching. In songs. In writings. In publications, in videos, sermons, in meetings, put out the word. Is it clear? So, how do we ensure that every one member of the church is what? Is what? Strong in their spiritual lives. Strong spiritually. Do you know why we ask you about your business and we do our best to make impute in it? Do you know why? Because we believe that it should not become a distraction to you, and that when your business is doing well, it will further reinforce your focus on the ministry. That's the goal. Is it with your marriage? Is it with your associations? Is it with your jobs? Your career? Your academics? We see them as things that when they are standing strong, they can improve your focus on training and raising men. So we must focus on what we have. Is it clear, church? If you like what you have, you must focus on it. How can some of us have two disciples, some of us have three disciples, four disciples, five disciples? Because that's the category you are ministering from now, the discipler. Another category is the cell leader or assistant function in the cell. How can I make sure that every member of the cell is strong? Focus on it, 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 focus on it. Focus on it. Focus on it. Focus on it. Two prayers. Focus on it. That's your focus. Are you with me? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me, everybody. Don't focus on, you are passing by a church. You now saw 100 cars, 500 cars in their car park. Don't focus on it. That's not your focus. You are focusing on the wrong thing. You are focusing on the wrong thing. Their building is large. They have large 2,000 seat auditorium. Don't focus on that. Don't focus on that. Don't focus on that. Focus on what is in your own hand. How can it multiply? Where you are picking two disciples, how can we start picking a boss? But to be a boss of people who are saved, not a boss of people that are coming to take chin chin and chin gum with Pepsi. So when they come and we didn't give them Pepsi, they are the ones they are. Once they come to church like this, we are not able to get them. We did not give them Pepsi and Gala. There are some places, first time package is like, is it 1 kg or 2 kg of wheat? Imagine the office there. So we calculate. So we store wheat there. How would they not come next service and sing with joy? They will sing with all their heart. It's not just about their coming. How would they not invite family, friends? Well, my brother, one now, if it's you, you my brother, one. Where's Bojo? You come and grow, you are. And Lord Church, to find Ole, Milu, Musapu Mary, Bala Shama Shiba, with Milu near, with Mary Abbey, Amatin, or Kofan Mary, Meta Yoku, Amata. With moth. When I say take your moth, no, I don't feel like taking it now. Take your moth, no, I don't feel like taking it now because you want to go and sell it. And use it for soap. No, if it was me, will I not bring my younger one? Why is everybody looking at me like this? Sister Vizia, you not bring your younger ones. You bring them now. Back of window. First time as package. We don't do that here. We give you bulletins. We give you bulletins. We give you a place to fill your names and your phone number. Give you bulletins. As of give you the word. Give you bulletins. That in itself is to save you if you don't have the heart of God yet, heart for the Lord yet, then we'll follow up. Is it clear? If we are going to do God's work, we must ensure we have the right words, parameters. And we must ensure that we focus. Is it clear, church? We must ensure that we are what? We are focused on what is where? In our hands. Look at me, everybody. I say this and I close. Your resources are meant for your church, not other churches. Your church! talk like that at the top of my voice, so that when you're about to do something, just if that's the one you remember. Maybe all the ones I'm saying silently, just, but that one that I shouted is the one you remember. Your church! That's all you remember.
Your prayer is for your church. Find out the prophecies given in your church and draw an action line around them.
Is it clear, church? Many of the places that we admire, like churches or ministries that are doing rightly, which we admired, look at this. They focus on what they had. That is why they now have something to be admired by all. You don't be a stupid person. Where your focus is on what is not your own. You are covetous and stupid. A stupid person. That's how you know a stupid person. A stupid person prioritizes what is of others above what is your own. A stupid person prioritizes what belongs to others above your own, which is your own. You can't take care of other people's family. Is it clear? And your own family is rotting. Look at what Paul said. Paul said, such a man is a what? Is a stupid man. He says he is worse than what? An infidel, an unbeliever. Why? Because even unbelievers will not do that. That means, look at me, look at everybody. If he says you are worse than an infidel, it means an unbeliever will not what? Do that. That means you don't even need godly wisdom to know. You just need natural wisdom, common sense. That's what he's saying, common sense. Common sense. Your own. What is your own? Your own. Ah, would you tell me that? No, you run it. You go to duty. You are on duty. Your own. Someone say my own. Your own. Your church. Your friend. Your cell leader. Look at this. Even within the church. Imagine Sister Esther now begins to value a PS cell leader more than Okudo cell leader. She is being very stupid if she does that. She's not doing that. So I'm just saying. It's within the same church. Oh. Said, was it on workers' page I put it that leadership can be difficult, right? Right? Don't make leadership difficult for your leaders. Leadership is already difficult. Some of you do not know. Some of you do not know that leadership is difficult. Leadership is difficult too. See, even to be a WhatsApp admin sometimes is work. WhatsApp admin. You now have somebody that leads across different places, areas. Don't make leadership difficult for your leaders. Be that reliable, consistent, supportive ally. Because by doing so, you are also ensuring that you are going to reap the same things. You are simply ensuring what you will reap. That is if we even have something to reap at all. Some of you, the way you handle your leaders, there will even be nothing to reap. Talk less of reaping the right things. Is it clear? Is it clear? Support. wanted to mention this in the midst of our emphasis and take it outside the teaching subject. Are we together? Are we together? By now you observe, when I'm teaching a series in church and I want to mention something, I don't want it to be in the series in church, I bring this to the workers. So at the same time, I can be teaching the workers something and I have some things to share, and I will take it away from them. I can give it to the leaders, but now I'm bringing it to the workers, so it shouldn't be recorded. So if you are not here, you are listening to the sessions on faithfulness, you will not hear this one. It's for you. Outside, whosoever is listening to. Is it clear? Be that consistent, supportive person. Let your support be consistent. Look at what God said. As truly as I live.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just God that said that. Elisha then says that to Elisha. As truly as thy Lord liveth and you liveth. As truly as you and thy Lord liveth, I will not leave you. I will leave. I will not come back. So be that consistently supportive follower. Friend. Ministry is friendship. Ministry is friendship. Be a friend. Be a friend. Be your cell leader's friend. Function can make you to be subordinate and to serve. But there's a relationship in the function. And the relationship is friendship. Be your pastor's friend. Be your parents' friend too. Your siblings, be their friend. Value what you have. Focus on it. Find out what to do to make it grow and do it. Is it clear? Should I say it again? Value what you have. Focus on it. Find out what you need to do to make it to grow. Is it clear? Or find out what you can do. Find out what you can do to make it grow. What's the first thing I said again? Value what you have. Focus on it. Can we take it like a song? Value what you have. Focus on it. Find out what you need to do to make it grow. Again. Again. Value what you have. Focus on it. Find out what you need to do to make it. Again, find what you have. Focus on.
Find out what you need to do to make it.
Again. Everybody, open your mouth. Want to go? Value what you. Go to the keyboard. Go to the keyboard. Wait.
I have found out that many of us are stony-eared. Okuta walitiwa. You don't hear word. And they are here amongst us. And it's my work to make it hear it. So I will come with all kinds of. It's my work. Some of us are stony-eared. Stony-eared. Last week, I thought about accountability. I was teaching faithfulness. So nobody asked me to measure accountability. I measure accountability today, next tomorrow. About 3-4 people failed it on the same issue. Give us a sound. Oh yeah, want to go? Value. Open your mouth. You are not going to value it. You value it, Abby. Whosoever is not singing, I will tell everybody to look at your face. You are the person that will not value what you have. Oh yeah, give us a. Value what you have. Focus on you.
prophesy. One more time.
That they say we should focus on something, and as you focus on it, you suddenly just lose sight of all the things around it. I don't know what they call that test. Well, what do you call that test? Yes, optical image illusion. Yeah. So you are told to focus on something. The moment, the more you focus on it, the less you will see what is around. Are we together? The less you see what is around. You can even practice it anywhere. You look at something, the more you are engrossed with it, the less you see what is around. You can focus on something. Are we together? Look at this. Including your disciples. I'm saying that your disciples are your parcel of land. Then you don't even have one. Your disciple is your parcel of land. And you have them in tens, in fifteens. And those disciples, because you are focusing on them, they are also now doing what? Raising other what? Disciples. That is your land doing what? Increasing. So people don't even have any land. They don't have land. They are still not focused on having one. They are now focusing on other people's land. I'm not the one that said that. It's Paul that said that. He says you are worse than an unbeliever. You are not thinking straight. If you don't have a parcel of land, the next thing to do is to what? Is to ensure you locate one and pay the price for it. Someone say pay the price. What is the price? The price is personal prayers. Agbamu yamu yamu agbara dura. You pray. Because one of the things that you observe is that sometimes in discipleship in yourself, sometimes it can just be an influx of people. And even though you have not reached that person on your own, somebody else's people that they have reached can be handed over to you. But in the discipleship, because it's a teamwork, that's the meaning of team. Some people are so fixated on my own disciple, somebody I go, this thing is dynamic. Yes, we are training you so that you can lay hold by yourself. Because that way you are equipped for the work anyway. But one of the ways a disciple gets into your grip is by an influx of others into the cell. They will say, ah, okay, how many? Four. Ah, who can disciple this person? Okay, that oh yeah, give him this person. If you need disciple, grasp the meaning of team. That's a team. It's like football team. When Ronaldo scores, are we together? The keeper can have next match too. The same keeper of Ronaldo's team can have next match. When they don't score, or when Ronaldo's keeper concedes a goal, what will happen to Ronaldo next match? He will not play because the team has lost. That's the meaning of team. That's the meaning of team. That's the meaning of team. How would you get a church? Focus on what you want, what you have. Value it. Find out what you need to do to make it grow.
Hey!
Look at me. You must know how to search for treasures. Have you searched for something before? Have you searched for something before? That you are looking for something that you need and you have searched everywhere. I've done this several times. Some about a month or two ago, I had to go and search for a machine of 150 million naira. Yes. Someone told me to go and search for it. There's one of those machines in Lorry and it was bought, and I needed the working one for a project somewhere. And the person that gave the work to me is one of the people I regard highly, most highly in my entire life. And when they called me, they literally said they called me because somebody told them I would get the work job done. I said I would do it. I got them the machine in 24 hours. And when I got them the machine, on your way to Jeba. The machine was working. One of the most sophisticated work is excavating limestones from quarry. And I collected the machine from the owner of the quarry. And I sent it to that city. They were shocked. And the project I did, all the team members that they sent out, who were very versatile in doing the work, the cost I got them the machine was 4 million naira lesser. Someone was asking how I was able to do it. It's just focus. See, in those particular days, there is nothing you give me. I don't want anything. I want the machine. If you tell me, do I want oxygen or the machine, I will tell you, it's the machine I want. Take oxygen away. So the oxygen you give me is just so I can get the machine. I spoke to one of the secretaries, to one of the permanent secretaries of the state. I was entering into different places. I was entering. One of those days, someone was with me. Were you the one that was with me? One of those days that I stopped these people that were tarring the front of the government house. Yes. They were tarring the. I saw the machine like that. I just came down. I went to meet them. Interestingly, it was that guy that gave me the low bed that took the machine there. It was that guy. There was no way I could have met that boy. No way. I had reached every. In this city. I reach people so much that the moment I get to somewhere now and I ask, the moment the person calls, they say, ah, once you don't know what? Yes. If I get to somewhere again, go call. Once you don't know what? So I was moving from, I went from there to Sobi, I went to Songo, I went to Ofagaraj, I went to after Idofian. I went to Ayen Kori maybe like 8 times. God the machine. I'll be telling you the story small. So in another 1 year, I'll tell you some more. I'm just talking about focus. Focus. Your focus can be deadly, drastic. Drastic focus on academics, drastic focus on ministry, drastic focus on the supernatural. Do you know you can have a drastic focus on the supernatural that will be a walking power of God? Those are the kind of results that get, those are the kind of virtues that get results. Are you with me? Focus on what is your own. Focus on your friends. Focus on your relationships. Go and find out what to do to make it work. Find out. You can search. You are searching for something. Searching. There was a time like that I was searching my house for a particular book. It was an A4 paper. A4 paper. The A4 paper is like maybe 4 or 5 years old. A4 paper. I had inscribed things in it in red many years ago. The places where I now thought maybe I had a copy of the item that I put on, I didn't see that. So I understood that I needed to find that paper. Now, the last time I saw the paper, you know, I had folded it into four. So by the time I open fold, it had already torn the crease. Had torn. So, but I knew that the paper, I needed the paper. So I entered my library. I ransacked the whole place. I couldn't find it. I went into my room. Ransacked the whole place. Came back to the city room. It's supposed to be here. Check in the car. Check everywhere. Check office. I went back to Tipa Garage, my office at Tipa Garage, opened it again. It's not here. I check everywhere. It's not there. I still didn't find it though. But that, I'm just saying, that's what I searched. So after a while, I had to sit down and start recollecting the things I said. It's still, the whole picture was incomplete. I said, hopefully I find it. I still couldn't find it. Now, go find it. But that is how you search. See, you can search how to make your discipleship work effective from church teachings. And you people, you're more ministry. You are too casual. Like someone like Bro Delight. Bro Delight is too casual. Too casual! You're too casual. You're too casual. I look at some of you, I say, you are too casual. Bromayowa is one of the most casual people in the workforce. Very casual. Hey! Stay on it till it is done. Lock up. Lock yourself up in the toilet till you finish the book. Start from page 1 and read to page 400. And don't leave the house till it is done. When you are coming out like this, you'll be like somebody they kidnapped. But that is the price of focus. You can search something out in prayer. Because Paul explains tongues as searching the mind of God. You can search the mind of God. Go, to have a reader, sorry. Casual. You know what casual means? Casual means if I don't find it today, I'll come back later. You don't get to come back. As I sometimes some of you are wondering, how was I able to get the result? Magbi, Ashwa Yabai, woman dry clean any. Woman dry clean any. That clothes, I always dry clean. I dry clean that keeps it somewhere. The clothes is a garment of focus. If I put it on like this, you can't catch up. You can never catch up. I can be hanging around and just say, hey, the moment I've acknowledged that, this is what I want to do. This is what is needed now. This is what is needed now. It has to be done. While light alive, you can't catch up. You cannot see my face until I have laid hold on it. And yet, I'm still improving on that virtue. Because I've seen some people in this life that my focus level looks like BB, class to their own. So I've come to see that one of the things that others do differently is that they are just more focused. They are not better than me. Sometimes I even observe that I even have more resources than them. I even have more opportunities than them. But they are more focused. 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 So from the point of not having what you have, they come to even possess more than you do because of focus. Focus on the job, focus on the ministry, focus on the self, focus on disciples. Focus, focus. So the price is many times focus. Don't leave. There are people that are paid for their level of focus. Their level of focus. They are paid for their level of focus. 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 Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. So, value what you have. Your church. I see some of you on very strange websites. Strange websites. You can't do well in ministry that way. You can't do a ministry that way. You are on strange ministry websites. Other people's, other churches' websites. I don't know what you are looking for there. You can never ever be successful at your own work that way. You can't be. And some of you on other churches' websites, you are there. I don't know what you are doing there. I don't know what you are downloading there. I don't know what you are looking for there. I don't know what you are looking for there. If you are looking for business items, it's way better. But you are going for ministry item, you can never ever do well in this church that way. You can't. Because your focus is being sabotaged. Because I don't know what you are looking for that is not amidst the ministry resources that you already have. You don't have to have subscribed for something evil before it distracted you. See, if you are married, another good woman can be the reason why your home is ruined. The woman is good, mind you. But your home is now ruined because you allowed her to distract you. The same goes with the woman. You are married. Your husband is good. Another good man can bring your house down because you were a stupid woman. Yeah, it's just my colleague. It's just my colleague. It's just my colleague. It's just my colleague. You are a stupid woman. Someone was telling me some years ago that the fact that I'm in a relationship with you, she was telling me that does not mean I can't go out with other guys. Ah. In a lorule. When you see fire on top of your house, you don't say, ah, there's fire in my house. Hello, dear. You know, mama, what are you doing? Even in companies, they have exit point. Have you? Assembly point. You assembly point. The moment, and you don't have to see fire. The moment you hear fire, assembly point. Immediately, I went to assembly point. Immediately, I went to assembly point. Me. I'm not just a pastor, I'm a pioneering pastor. You know the difference? You know the difference? I hope you know the difference. That I'm not a pastor. I'm not just a pastor, I'm a pioneering pastor. I'm a pioneering pastor. And there are two vastly different realities. Someone was telling me, talking to me about about his fiancée. Was telling me that he doesn't have time for me and this that but I know some of my friends who are also pastors and they have time for their own fiancées. I told her, I said this person you are talking about is not just a pastor, he's a pioneering pastor. They are two different things entirely. That if they are not a pioneering pastor, you can never know that the 30-year body of a ministry is already on his mind now to know. This is not somebody pastoring under somebody and say, okay, this is your work is just to take instructions. Then a bulk of the work is left to you. Is left from you. You're not a pioneering pastor. If you're a pioneering pastor, you know what I'm talking about. A pioneering pastor is not something you delve into. If God does not call you, you are going to kill yourself. What did I say? Because God can't cover you. You are not called to do it. We trained you to swim around this boundary of oceans. Now you went into the deep sea. You are not trained to face sharks. Because those who face sharks don't face them alone. You are not trained to face sharks. You are not trained to face sharks. You are trained as a lifesaver. When somebody is drowning at the beach, save the person. So you are equally a skillful swimmer. It's not likely that you died in the deep sea because the water waves were too much. You died because there is a reality in the deep sea that you were not trained for. You are not a pioneering pastor. So, God does not expect that you will delve into some depths. If you delve into those depths, it is not for you. He didn't lead you there. He doesn't lead there. It's the work of the pioneering pastor. Pioneering pastor, Luma Rubo Wobeye, walk up. Leave the work alone for that person. He has the grace to handle it. That's the difference. Focus on what you have. Focus on what you have. And value it. And value it. And value it. And value it. Are you with me? Are you with me? Focus. On your career. I said last week, a sign of unfaithfulness is that you switch skills. Today you are learning content writing. Tomorrow is social media marketing. Next tomorrow is a virtual assistant. Next other one it is a copywriting. You are going to programming again. The same you said that you now want to learn how to be doing cocoa below. And then you move from there again. You say that it's tailoring that is working now. From there, he said, no, it's crypto. Crypto has replaced tailoring. Then he said, no, can't I see that it is AI that is making the crypto? It's AI you want to learn. See, you are not going to be a good mother. You are not going to be a good husband. You will not be a good father. There is a seed in you that is not consistent. A seed of inconsistency is in you. A seed of inconsistency is in you. So it's the pastor's work to see it and to remove it. Faithfulness. Are we there? So I can release us now. It's almost 10. Are we here? So this assembly that I'm talking to tonight is taxed with the growth of the assembly. Please, those that are not here, we must get some vital fundamental things what? Right. Is it clear? The goal above your feelings. What is your goal?
Hey, sir. Hey, I'm sorry. I just went to help him. Ah, that's not how to help the person. The way to help the person is allow him to keep struggling with what he's struggling. You too, struggle with what you are struggling. Let him focus. You focus. The moment you begin to bring forth fruit in what you are been struggling with, what's it called? Contending with. What you are laboring at. Keep laboring at it. Keep contending at it. The moment you are bringing forth fruit, the influence of those fruits is what should help him. Don't because you want to help your neighbor leave your work. Who is training this one? As the person is toiling, you to be what? Be toiling. And if you have a good friend, then the person understands. The proceeds that come from your own success will later be useful to him. But now you have abandoned your work. Two of you, you come into something that he himself does not even understand. So two of you will drown. And your own feet is left untethered and untethered and cared for. Focus on your ministry. Look at me. Focus on your health. Your health. Your health. Your health. Focus on your health. How do you want to look? How do you want to feel in your 40s and 50s? Understand how now. Even if you can't start engaging, understand. Definitely. An average young woman should be learned about childbirth. Basic realities of childbirth. Not that you're clueless. Filled with knowledge. Focus. Focus. Whatever you want to do well in, focus. Focus. Focus in that area. Focus on your knowledge of the words. Do you really understand the concepts? Do you understand baptism? Do you understand faith? Do you understand healing? Do you understand walking in love? Do you understand patience? Do you understand? Do you understand prayer? Do you understand faith? Do you understand evangelism? Do you understand how to minister the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit? Focus on it. Focus on your leader. I told you, even when you have many leaders, by virtue of different functions in the church, which of them is your own leader? Then focus on your disciple. Which of these many disciples is your own disciple? Don't focus on other people's disciples, because you've got to call him there. Focus. I'm not saying don't be helpful. I'm not saying don't show concern. Not that someone is now sick. Say, I mean, I'm not visiting mommy. I'm focused on my health. No. If you care for that person, you are also focusing on your church. Know when something is distraction. When you have money, focus on your own money. Focus on it. Don't look for other people's money. And don't be a mother Christmas or father Christmas with money. Focus. It's expected that if you are earning, you have something you want to build in your life. Focus. Don't be carried away. By now, in this church, you know that nobody is looking at your shoes. In fact, if we see new shoes in your leg, we might even judge you. Because you don't have disciples. You have shoes. You should rather have that one here because the disciple pair. While your disciples in your shoes, you know, we used to have one book in primary school. Some of you don't have it. How many of you saw that book? That they were serving food in shoes. Ah!
be clear on my A war. You don't know the book that a woman was serving beans in a shoe. Hey, more now. Hey! Ah, you make me feel like I'm lying. I keep going. Now I feel better. That the woman was serving in his shoes. Almost secondary school. Don't wear uniform. With spots. Beans spots. Ah. What book did you guys read? It's fine. It's well with you. Amen.
Focus.
All the perfumes in this world. And your Bible is torn.
Focus on your spiritual life. Focus on your associations. Who are those 3, 4, 5 friends that you reach out to every week? They are not church members. They are probably not colleagues at work. But they are people that you know they are seen. And that you like to keep a close association around. 4, 5 people that you check on them every week. If all your friends are in the church, you are not going spiritually. Quote me anyway. If all your friends are just church members, you are not what? That means you are not learning life. You are not applying the word outside the church. And I'm not talking about useless friends. There was one sister in this church that anytime somebody did something they don't like, the person will just call the friends and they will come and beat the sister up. They will come and beat up another church member. Interestingly, it was that church member that was squatting that person. So he just said, like, sister thug. It's not those kind of friends, though. When your pastor collects you and then you sound someone and say, check out no pastor in here. Not those kind of friends, though. Please don't bring them to church, though. I will not come to service that day, though. I need my fine place for business. That's if it's fine. My place is even fine. I need my normal place for business. Not that they are punchy there, Someone that come and wants to come and buy would think that maybe I sold fake stuff. And they came to beat me up. No, please, so. Praise God. And lastly, opportunities come to us. Amen. The more you focus on your things, the more you will be eligible when opportunities come. There are 3 realities around opportunities. Number one is that opportunities are around, but you did not know them. Is it clear? Number two is that you saw opportunities, but you recognized it, but you did not take initiative. Interestingly, I was remembering during the week, I was remembering an opportunity that came to me about a year or two ago, and I didn't take it. I now find myself sometimes last week, I now needed that opportunity. So, within my heart, I now told myself that, you had this opportunity there. And it was a particular relationship. I met somebody that I was supposed to. It was going to stretch me, not stress. You must not be going to see stressing and stretching. They are not the same thing. Some things is stretching. You are calling it stress. No. It's stretching. Sometimes we can stretch you. Stretch you. Your pastor can stretch you. It is training. It's even from stress. It was going to stretch me. But that particular week, I can remember how that week went for me. For example, that week, I had meetings in church almost daily. So I was busy. And I think business was not going so
smoothly that time. So I needed to have, I needed to also focus a lot on business. So I was really engulfed mentally. So I know that I needed to take some steps, about 2, 3, 4 steps, to meet with the person and establish some conversations and have conversations. The person was somewhere around the city. I was supposed to go there, and then coupled with the fact that I didn't also want it to feel like I am beggarly. So I just felt, interestingly, daily for about 3, 4, 5 days, I kept having that nudge. Go to this person, talk to this person, establish this, just realize with the person, establish contact, talk to this person. Then the person traveled out of the country. About 4 or 5 days ago, I now needed to do some, and the only person that can do it is that person. Yes. That's the only person, at least within my knowledge. Because it has to do with giving me access to a particular thing, which is in this city. Well, two things. There's the ego of let it go. There's the humility of I was wrong. The difference between sorry and I was wrong is that I was wrong always comes back. Because if it is humility, you will go back. If it is ego, you will say, I am sorry, you will not come back. Pride will never go back, will never submit. And that is not true admittance. That's why some people tell me, I am sorry. I know it is pride. I know. And some will say, I'm sorry. And I'll see the action. And I embrace that feeling. So saying I'm sorry is completely different from admitting that you were wrong. So I now had to reach out to the fellow. Interestingly, what was on my mind was on the person's mind. The person knew that I needed to come around. He didn't know, are you with me, that I would be needing whatever. But he just felt that. So he just said, that I thought you would have wanted to see me. But I didn't see you. So I just felt, because what I now did was that, when I now reached out and I said hello, I now took on that period. I now went back. I said, I remember this. I was supposed to. I am sorry. And even after that, I knew that you are trapped. And I was just supposed to do this and this. I apologize. He now said, okay. I now say, I am reaching you for this. I need this. It's not money. It's not money. It's an asset. So I said, I need this. And you are the one I know I can talk to. Interestingly, I didn't want it to look like this is the reason why I now chat you up. I was telling him all that. I didn't want it to look like this is the reason why I now chat you up. But sir, it is what it is. I need this. I hope you are not hanged. Then he went offline for a while. Then he got back. Then he responded to the chat. And then he chatted. So I had to retrace. I had to go through the stress that I would not need to have if I had taken that relationship. Focus on your relationships. Find out what makes relationships work and just do it. Is it clear? Look at this. The second thing I said is what? Not taking what? The initiative. The third one is that you took the initiative, but look at this. You did not sustain the action. You were not consistent. Opportunities.
Because look at me, I'll close here. Opportunities come to all of us. But you might not recognize it.
Sometimes it takes your accountability for somebody else to say, that's opportunity. Oh, anymore. But because you are not accountable, it's gone. Some you took
You saw the opportunity, you did not take initiative.
Again, can capital affect it? Sometimes you say, I cannot do this. Who told you you can't do it? It has happened several times in church. Some just say, this happened, and then I said no. Who told you you can't do it? Because it will affect meeting the show. What do you think we are doing here? Okay, what if I tell you that Sunday, travel? We should invite the one spiritual. What if I now tell you, take 2 weeks, go? That's what about my disciples? No. Put them in your shoes and go. You think your pastor left university a year ago? 2025 will be, I think, my 10th or 11th year of finishing on campus. But most when I'm finishing on campus, it's about how many years I've been pastoring at. Going to 18 years. 18 years, you go. I've told people before, go. There's a family, the family issue has now moved from the degree of hotness have moved from 2 to 98. When they are now about to remove sword and stab you, you now say, Pastor, there's something in my home. What happened? You now started listening. This, and why did you not tell me? This one is not ministry. This one is foolishness. Go. Go for the interview. Say, hey, boss, sir. You want to be more ministerial than me. They said the interview is in Lagos. And I said, go now. Say, sir, I already know I will not take the job. Who told you? Who even told you that the job was going to be there in the city? Who told you will not be allowed to take the job? Who told you? That's why some people were saying in our church that the pastor in this church does not want people to marry. They said, pastor does not want people to marry. Pastor does not want people to serve outside the Lord. Pastor does not want, the pastor does not even want us to breathe. And it's not true. Egba me to your Lord. It's not true. It was all a lie. He said, I can't stay in that church. How would they say I should not marry? They left the church. Till today, they have not married. Wahala. They have neither married, neither have they been given how to marriage. Reza. Wahala. Are we together? Opportunities will come to all of us. So that's what I'll say to us. So we'll spend 4 hours together. Make use of it. Opportunities will come to all of us. See, look at me. Have you seen identical twins before? Is the mother able to recognize them? Are the siblings able to recognize them? Why? Because they see have what? Differences. No two people on earth are the same. That is nature teaching you. Even the identical twins, two of them, the leg did not come out at the same time. If two of them put their legs out at the same time, doctors will push one inside. Because that will ruin the mother's life. So even twins that were conceived at the same time, they grew through the 9 months at the same time. They did not come out at the same what? Time. Are you with me? When you plant a tree or a crop, you put two seeds in the soil. One in A, if A, the second one in reach or hip or if B, when they grow, there's great tendency that the number of fruits you found on this will be different from the number of fruits you found on this. The same seed from the same parent's crop was planted. That is nature teaching you that opportunities might not come at the same time, but they will come. Are you listening to me? They will come. But do you have the culture of recognizing? Do you have the culture of taking initiatives? Do you have the culture of consistency? To note opportunities, to respond to opportunities, or to sustain and nurture what? Opportunities. Some people, is your quarreling lifestyle that will ruin godly relationships. And godly relationships, I'm not talking about maybe ministry relationships. I'm talking about people put in your own life. That's why a friend of mine, as Bukola, are we together? Said something like, when you pray, are we together? And God answers your prayer by the kind of people He surrounds you with, make sure that your bad attitude does not ruin your prayer. Make sure. Because look at me. When you pray, God answers many times our people. He will bring somebody. That person might not even have or look like he's going to have what you ask for, but the person knows the person that will have it. And that's how God works. That's how God works. Are we together? That what Jesus needed, are you with me, was Paul. But it's Barnabas that will bring Paul. Or what Paul needed was a Peter to endure his ministry. But Barnabas is the one that knows the Peter. He literally grew up with the apostles. So he had direct access. He just went and he brought Paul from Antioch and said, okay, Paul, what you have apostle? Oh yeah, talk to them. Yeah? He just brought Paul, Barnabas. He just brought Paul and the ministry wasn't going to be Barnabas' ministry. The ministry was Paul's ministry. But Paul needed Peter. Barnabas was the one that had the assets. So sometimes the person might not have that very substance. It could be money, it could be assets, it could be resources, it could be individual. I've seen people before that it is through a friend that they met their life partner and they got married and they had a beautiful home. I've seen people before. I know a pastor that it was through a church member that he met the sister. It was through a church member that he met his wife, because the wife was the sister of the church member. And they're doing beautifully in the ministry. And now came Jesus trained and then became very useful and see useful today. So you have to be trained on how to see people and treat people. Opportunities what? Come to all of us. Are you with me? I'll talk about opportunities later. But opportunities come to all of us. So have a daily culture. A daily culture of doing the right things. Doing the right things. When opportunities show up, it will join hands with that culture. In fact, when you make mistake at an opportunity, that culture can redeem it. You will find people who will say, this person is not like that, because they have observed a culture and help you to redeem the mistake you made around an opportunity, restoring the opportunity. Opportunities come to all of us. You prayed for a job, God can bring a friend. that might not even have access to that job that you need until 2-3 years of his own time. But because you're a faithful and a constant and consistent person, you are not being beggarly to him, you are not compromising your standard, but you are just this reliable, confident person. When the opportunity comes to him and he doesn't need it, he gives it to you. But you are not being a friend because you know opportunity will come from him. You are just being that prophet. Culture. 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 I did a project about 2 years ago now. And the project got me about 600,000 to 800,000 naira within 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks. It got me about 600,000 to 800,000 or even 900,000 naira. Within 2 weeks. And the project simply came from somebody who spoke to somebody who now called somebody and now said, I know somebody in London. If he does it, you will not have any fear. The guy said, I can't travel. I'm fine with it. Yeah, you don't have to travel. That guy will do it. By the time I was done with the project, the manager of their company, the branch that the fellow was, now called me and said, because he now came to the city to commission. When he saw it, he said they have been doing this project for about 11 years. They have not seen that quality. He told me that point blank. He said, we have not seen that quality. He said, we have been doing it for 11 years. It's a give back society, kind of, at the end of the year. He said, we have not seen this particular quality before. Because I didn't just do the whole work for them. And I even did other things that I didn't tell, because personally I have a culture in business to deliver more than people before. But it doesn't cost me too much. I just deliver more. So after I produced the items for them, I now branded it in the name of their company. I branded everything so that it was difficult for it to be picked up without anybody who sees it knowing it's their property. Very difficult. They were going to use it in different groups of offices. It was difficult for one person to go to another office and pick the same item that is there. It's difficult. I branded it that way. I saw it. Till today, the guy sees me and thanks me. Yeah, he made me money, but for him, it wasn't the money I would make. It was his reputation on the line. And in fact, he couldn't find it. Just said, I have somebody. So they had to link it across three people. Then, yeah, and she said, Buju Mijo, that's what he told me. It's just me. It's just me. So, culture. Is it clear? Culture. 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 You don't have to be a wealthy person to have a good culture. Are we together? But to have wealth, you must have culture. You don't have to be a wealthy person to get culture. But to get wealth, are we together? Of whatsoever kind. It could be wealth of good friends. It could be wealth of health. Is it clear? It could be wealth of relationships. It could be wealth of assets. It could be wealth of resources. It could be wealth of money. You must have a good culture. Culture. So, do you recognize opportunities? Do you take initiatives? Do you have a culture that sustains opportunities? You must have those three. Why? Because opportunities do what? Opportunities come to us all. Opportunities do what? Opportunities come to us all. Opportunities do what? The first opportunity that came to you was the fact that you were the one that fertilized the egg in your mom. That is an opportunity. You had opportunity to come into this world and serve God while you impact lives. The fact that it was you means that is an opportunity. So our life is like that. So those opportunities might not come at the same time. See, Bro Sunday will get an opportunity now that it might take Bro Bolu 3 years to get it. It could even be in different areas. Are you with me? So Bro Bolu does not start thinking and give himself blood pressure Because Bro Sunday has gotten his own opportunity.
No, opportunity will come.
There's one thing God does not owe any of us. God owes no man on the earth opportunity. He brings all. But you might not be discerning, you might not take initiative, you might lack a culture.
The same way as the ministry, God gives us opportunities.
Are you with me? Are you with me? Sunday mornings are opportunities. Thursday evenings are opportunities. Outreaches are opportunities. You're a cell leader is an opportunity. And you are told to work closely with the cell leader as an assistant. That's an opportunity. That's an opportunity. And everyone is going to have opportunities at different times. Opportunities. Some person's business might blow. Some might get job offer now. Just like somebody got a job offer and then takes the job and is working. Don't pressure yourself out. Opportunities will come. Be at peace that opportunities will come. So what do I do when the opportunities have not arrived? Equip yourself with a culture that makes sure it will last. That make sure that you will take advantage of it. Equip yourself with culture. Ezekiel, church. Equip yourself with culture because opportunities will come. I want to travel. Opportunity will come to travel. Don't pressure yourself out. I want to get married. Opportunities will come. Opportunities come to all of us. Different opportunities, diverse opportunities for different things. But I can't wait. It's taking too long. I can't wait. That is where the problem is. Why can't you wait? It's taking too long. Who told you it's taking too long? It's taking too long is a statement of somebody who has somebody else's experience as his own yardstick. Is it clear? It's like if your child come back and then you give your child to say, mommy, unje you do. That means somebody else has given you food. Rice, ele you do. That means you have eaten rice somewhere. You have a yardstick, you have a measurement. And many times, the measurements are fake information from people who are not happy about life. Becomes your own yardstick. Fear. So, value what you have. Focus on it. And find out what you need to do to what? To make it grow. And make those three things your culture. For valuing what you have. For focusing on it. And of always making it better. Let your presence be felt positively. Let it be felt. If I'm your friend, you are going to know I'm your friend. You're going to know. If I'm a friend, you're going to know. I'm going to use my brain to resolve your challenges. If I feel I'm too occupied upstairs, I'm going to keep a tab. I'll mention it. Have you been able to resolve this? Okay, I just want to ask. I'll get back to you. I'll get back to my work. In the night. So what? Have you able to do anything about it? No. Okay. But what are you doing? Okay. No problem. I'll get back to you. What? I'm keeping the tab. You will never feel alone when I'm a friend. You will not. You will know there's someone with you in it. You will not. Many times, I will use my resources to solve the challenge you have. And that is not being distracted. That is part of my being focused on building relationships. Because building relationships require sacrifice. Some of you don't know. Sacrifice. Friendship is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Sacrifice means to lay something down for the sake of what? The betterment, the equipment of what? Of another. Sacrifice. Growth requires sacrifice. Increase requires sacrifice. 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 What have you sacrificed? What have you sacrificed? What are you sacrificing? Sacrifice. 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 What are you sacrificing? What have you sacrificed? Is it clear? For that friend, for that job, for your health, for your ministry, what is the price? What have you sacrificed? Yesterday I was in the rain for almost an hour. That rain that fell in the night. Because I was trying to get a medication across to somebody. At one point I told myself, I said, why this? At the point I felt terrible because I was now criticizing myself that, I was criticizing myself and I was getting angry about somebody else because I felt that, where's the car? If I had the car, I would have done this. Oh, God. And I told myself, I said, go home now. Can you not do it in the morning? And I had to tell myself, two things. If I wasn't in sound health, I would treasure the fact that somebody brought that thing to me. Secondly, I said, what else is pastoring and friendship if it is not sacrifice? So I got back into the rain and we delivered the medication I was somebody. And by the time we're done, the rain increased again. It had gone down, then increased again. I literally trekked till I got home. It was you that now called me. That have I gotten home? Have you? I trekked till I got home. That was around 11:30. Was it 11:30 I knocked on the door? Where's boyfriend? He has been staying with me for a while. Where's boyfriend? Was it around 11:30 I got? Yeah. I don't know what he said. He wants to tap something. He wants to come back. I literally trekked from inside Okeudo to home around 11 in the rain. And I was going, my head was like icing up because of the cold. There was a sister with me. I had to find keke by then. You go. At the moment I want to trek, there is a posture, there is a gear I enter. That I know that even if a bike store, I'll go climb up. But there was no. You see, you remember I entered that gear? Where was all the bike before I entered the gear? When I entered that gear, ever after I lost charges, I just entered the gear. Till I go home. But I just told myself, I said, pastoring is sacrifice. Someone told me that I sacrificed. Did you know what I do? Take me for me. If I show you what me I do, what you do will lose it. It will lose relevance. But we mustn't compete on that. Because graces are given to us and functions are given to us. And when a function is given to you, your level of labor must rise up to that function. You have to exceed all that on labor. Do you know what I do? Do you know what goes on in my life within 24 hours? Do you know how many eggs I tie? Sometimes 3, 4, 5 days, I might not taste anything. And it's not because there's no food around. It's because eating makes no sense because of my state of mind. And it doesn't mean I don't have joy. I'm just not excited. And it's not about myself. I'm not excited that there's someone in the church who is ill. And I can't eat. I'm not excited that there are 6, 7 people who told me they don't have meal. I'm not excited about it. It doesn't mean I don't have joy. That's not about joy. That is a sense of responsibility has filled my heart and I lose the excitement. And I'm like, why? And I'm calling this group and that group and that group. What have you eaten? And then I don't have food. I'm trusting God. And I'm not excited anymore. And I feel like And I get to work. And I focus on my work. And I'm pressing through till I lay hold on the resource. And immediately I distribute. At that moment, I feel I feel relieved. I feel relieved that I can think about this person, and in my head, I know this person is eating. Sometimes I look at it and I say, this is a fervent brother in church. No. This brother should not have zero accounts. And I look at my account and there's not much there, or it can't go down. Then I switch into work mode. Sometimes at those moments, some of you that don't know are trying to come around me. And I don't even give you face. It doesn't mean I don't have joy. It is work mode, responsibility. I enter that mode a lot. Sometimes I would just get very angry. Where's your disciple? He said, what about this? That one is having this issue. What about that one? He's not coming. What are we doing? What are we doing here? What are we even doing, self? And that's enough to get me into 4 days of a mood of being discontented about the state or the result, level of result. It is not lack of joy. It is not love. It is not anger. It is not regret. It's just a state of mind that is placing demand on the supernatural to bring it out. And I combine that with my natural work. And I have to be there to pastor the flock so effectively that they don't even know anything is happening. And there are personal things in my own life that is not even related to ministry or anything that must be executed. Because I have a family. I have younger ones. And when they call, you have to smile. Otojameta, how are you? Peleji, wow. Hello. They don't even find out whether you have eaten anything. Hello, Pastor Kevin. You're not even asking of me. And I feel like saying, Tori Ekpesha, why did you call me? Why did you call me? Will you tell me what happened? I will end this call. I can't say that. I just say, the way I drop the call, I go. So, that's life. And that's how it brings forth results. Some of you that don't know, just come around me at those moments, I'll just have you. I say, Pastor is angry. No, I'm not angry. I'm just not in for, how are you, sir? Have you eaten? Oh, God! Eating what? Did you bring food? So what are you having? If I have eaten. Okay, but I say no. What is it going to change? You're not going to say, hey, Jim, now. I'll just say, oh boy, find your level. And it's not that one is angry. At that moment, you are just, it's just a work mode. Sacrifice. Knowing what it takes for something to become strong, plenty, grow, and be serious at deploying it. Let it be a culture. Ezekiel Church. So I'll release us here. Ezekiel Church. The culture. What is your culture? What is your culture? No wastage. Tell your neighbor, say no wastage. Say no wastage. No wastage of money. Is it clear? When you have extra funds, send it to church. Send it into church account. Extra 1,000. Send it to church. It is needed. It is needed. The church does not pay me salary. And I'm not in charge of church boss. So it is needed by the church, not me. No wastage. Don't waste associations. Don't waste time. Don't waste food items. Don't waste opportunities. Opportunities. You have an opportunity to learn something, learn it well. Stay with it. It looks like it's difficult. Stay with it. Difficulty is a request. Difficulty is your conviction being tested. Your conviction is being tested. Are you really wanting this thing? Do you really want it? When you get into difficult moments,
or moments of boredom. That is life, or seasons, or winds asking you how convinced you are about this thing. Your answer should be, I am convinced, by pressing for that. Is it clear, church? You press for that. You press for that. So, I'll see us later in the week. We'll continue our thoughts from our last meeting.